I want to share a brief word with you, a thought that the Lord gave me that I think will resonate for all of us this morning and those that will hear it after today. And my scripture references for our time is out of the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. It says this: after the death of Moses, the servant of God, God spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant. I'm reading these various passages from the Message translation, okay, or the Message, really more of a commentary. It's not a translation. After the death of Moses, the servant of God, God spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Would you just say ending? Come on, shout ending. Moses, my servant, is dead. Get going. Say, get going. Cross this Jordan River, you and all the people. Cross to the country I'm giving to the people of Israel. I'm giving you every square inch of the land you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon east to the great river of Euphrates River, all the Hittite country, and then west to the great sea, it's all yours. All your life, no one will be able to stand against you, hold out against you. In the same way I was with Moses, I will be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. Strength, courage. You are going to lead this people to inherit the land which I promised to give their ancestors. Give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure you carry out the revelation, the word that Moses commanded you, every bit of it. Don't get off track, either left or right, so as to make sure you get where you are going. And don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation be out of your mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice, do everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Haven't I commanded you? Strength, courage. Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. Say, God is with me every step I take. Say it again. God is with me. Come on. Every step I take. Say it again. Okay, some of y'all mumbling it like you don't really believe it. I need you to shout it out. Kind of throw your fist up like you pointing at everything that's opposing you and say, I need you to know God is. God is with me every step I take. So for the next few moments, Rhonda, we're going to talk about step on it. Step on it. It's time to step on it. Look at somebody and say, you better step on it. God speaks to Joshua, helps him to know Moses is gone. It's you now. Joshua is contemplating the situation. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. But then he says, I'm giving you every square inch of the land you set your foot on. Every square inch of the land you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses. And then later on there we see it says, God, your God, is with you every step you take. Step on it. Step on it. There are seasons in all of our lives when we're contemplating future, when we're not sure about future. But what God comes to Joshua and helps him understand is transition is already happening, and I need you to step on it. You know that phrase when you've heard that phrase, step on it. You know, they're in the car and the person that's got the foot on the pedal. What's that mean? It means speed up. Step on it. And in so many ways, what God was saying to Joshua is, look, it's time to step on it. Meaning, first and foremost, it's time for you to get up and get going. It's time for you to get up and get moving. But I want you to know the commitment that I made to Moses, that I made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way down to Moses. My covenant is still in place, and the land that I promised is here now. It's time to step on it. Come on now. Whenever I give that dramatic pause and nod my head, you shout, step on it. Let's practice. Come on. Hold on, wait. No, just can't do that too many times. Step on it. Step on it. Step on it. Step on it. I'm speaking to some of you that are in that middle space right now of what you believe God has called you to do, what you hope He wants to do in your life, but not sure about it. But I'm telling you by faith, you need to step on it. You need to step on it. You need to step on that word that you heard. Remember how Peter looks out and sees Jesus walking on the water. And I like this passage, and so does Pastor Josh, but I'm preaching it now. but we enjoy sharing these passages of scripture. But everybody in the boat has the same opportunity, but not everybody's gonna step on it. Oftentimes, we're in the same setting. We're hearing the same word, but not everybody's going to step on it, not going to step out in that word. And Peter, looking out and seeing Jesus, says, Lord, if it be you, bid me come. And Jesus says one word, and that word was. No, he didn't. But that fit too. But he said. He said, come, C-O-M-E, come. How many of you know sometimes all you need is one word? All you need is one word, because one word from God can change your life forever. Sometimes you just need to hear Him say, done. Saved. One word is all you need to hear from God. And when Peter heard that word, he stepped out. But he didn't step out. We read that and he steps out, and we focus on he walked on the water. But that's not really what he walked on. He walked on the word. He walked on that one word that was spoken. Step on it. Peter heard a word and stepped on it. All I need you to do is tell me I can do it. Hey, I hear that. All I need you to do is tell me I can do it, and I'll step on it. We're in this building today because some of us stepped on it. Come on, y'all. A good number of we stepped on it. I stepped on it first, and I brought some other folks to step on it. And we kept stepping on it and stepping on it and stepping on it and stepping on it and stepping on it. And you need to keep stepping on it and stepping on it and walking in it and walking on it and not relenting until that word becomes your reality. Till that thing which God has spoken, He does it, because He is a covenant-keeping God to generation after generation after generation. And you need to know one thing. If it doesn't happen in your generation, pass it on to the next generation. But you keep stepping out on it. You keep stepping on it. You keep stepping on it. You keep making that foundation real, and God will bring His word to pass. What He is saying to Joshua is, I need you to step on it. I need you to get up and get going. It's time to get busy. And there's something about the vision or being able to visualize and see. All you need is to see one person do it to know that somebody else can do it. All you need is to see one person do it. You see, once Peter walked out there, the rest of the guys in the boat, they could have walked out there too. But they didn't. And I'm convinced there's so many of us in the body of Christ, we're missing out because we see others step on it. But we never. And wonder why our life looks different than somebody else's. Well, they stepped on it, and you're still on the shore. You're still in the boat. You're still in that safety zone. You're still in that comfort place. And sometimes it just takes that one step that moves things, shifts things, causes things to begin to move, to begin to make the way to you. But you gotta step on it. Come on, shout, step on it. Step on it. He tells him, you've got to get up now and you've got to get going. Everywhere you place your feet, everywhere you step, it's yours. Everywhere you step, it's yours. Now, what God was saying to him is, look, I've already given it to you. I've already given it to you. And if you and I could see through eyes of the Spirit, if we could see with revelation and revelatory eyes, we'd be able to see the things that are already done. And all you got to do is step on it. All you got to do is step into it. And once you step on it, step into it, things around you begin to shift to make that which is in eternity, that which is in the invisible, be manifested in the time of real and now. But it takes somebody to step on it. It takes somebody to step on it. It takes somebody to see it, step on it when it don't look like what it's gonna look like, but you step on it anyway, and by faith, you keep standing, you keep stepping, you keep standing, you keep stepping until you see it all begin to manifest itself. Because you see, God gave them the land, but they were gonna need to possess the land. They were gonna need to step on it. They were gonna need to step into it, and they were gonna have to do it once. They had to do it over and over and over again. So in those early chapters of Joshua, when you get a chance to read, you'll see how they took out one nation, how they took out one king, as they took out another nation, another king, over and over. And every time it says, and they left no survivors. And they left no survivors. Meaning that God was clear. Look, I've already told you I've given it to you. I'm going to help you. And that's what God is saying to Joshua. He says, I got your back here. I'm going to help you. He says, I'm going to be with you like I was with Moses. As a matter of fact, he says, I'm going to drive them out. We're going to work in partnership. We're going to work in collaboration, but I need you to step on it. And so Joshua gets up, and Joshua begins to start his journey. And it's in Joshua 3 that we see here that it says this. Joshua 3, verse 14. It says, and that's what happened. The people left their tents. Now, what it's talking about there is the instructions that they got from Joshua. The instructions that Joshua got from God, which was, tell the priest to step out into the Jordan. And the people will cross over. Now, I want you to recognize this, because you see, God has a way of doing something now in one generation to mirror what he did in an earlier generation. As a matter of fact, you can track that through the scriptures, how he does certain miracles in one generation, and you see the similar miracles, Ray, in another generation. It's because God is faithful to his word, and he's working his word. And if you wonder sometimes, can God handle this? Find it in the Word. Find it in the Word. And it's step on that Word. Stand on that Word. And that's what happened. The people left their tents to cross the Jordan, led by the priest carrying the chest of the covenant. Because he said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant on the shoulders of the Levites, and they begin to walk out, move out with them. It says this, when the priest got to the Jordan and their feet touched the water at the edge, the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest. This was a harvest time. It says, the flow of water stopped. Say, the water stopped when they stepped on it. Come on, say, the water stopped when they stepped on it. Look at somebody and say, you better step on it. Step on it. Step on it. That's right, step on it. I want to get that in you. Step on it. I want you to hear it while you're riding home. No, but don't step on the gas, but just step on it, whatever. Yeah. I want it resonating on the inside of you, because that's what's resonating on the inside of me, Pastor. God's saying, step on it. Step on it. Step on it. It says the water stopped. Now look at this. It piled up in a heap a long way off. Uh-oh. That means that where they stepped in, Sandra, it didn't look like it stopped. It didn't look like it stopped. But God said, when our feet touch, it's going to stop. But God said, when we do this, this is going to happen. But sometimes what we don't realize is it has happened. It just hasn't manifested in your time and space yet that it happened. But you need to step on it, and you need to keep standing in that place on that word. It piled up in a heap a long way off at Adam, which is near Zarethan. The river, it says the river went dry all the way down to Arabah, the Arabah Sea, the Salt Sea, and the people crossed facing Jordan. And there they stood, those priests carrying the chests of the covenant, stood firmly planted on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all of Israel crossed on dry ground. Step on it. The word to the priest was step on it. Step out. Step on it. And when you step on it, God's going to stop it. But here's the key. Everything that God causes you and I to do, or calls us to do, or invites us to do, there's always going to be some element of faith to it. God would, and we would love it if every time we prayed a prayer, it happened instantaneously. We would love it if every time we said this, did this, it happened instantaneously. But that's not the way it works. Can it? Yes. But more often than not, there's a lesson to be learned in the process. And I just choose to believe that those priests with the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulder, they stepped out and said, he said it, we stepping. He said it, we stepping. Don't look at the water on your ankles. Don't look at the water at your knees. Don't look at the water. Come on, we're going to stand right here. Just keep standing. Yeah, we're going to keep standing. 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 And all of a sudden, somebody looks down and says, this was almost to our chest a minute ago. Man, now it's at the what? Yeah, keep standing. Keep standing. Because what God said, he's already done it. It just hasn't shown up yet. It's just a little ways off. And slowly but surely, that water began to recede until all the water was gone. And then they look back at the people and said, come on. But my word is twofold for some of you, because some of y'all looking and waiting. We don't need the looking and waiting. We need you to step on it with us. We need to step on it together. Now, the little babies and the infants, yeah, we got you. We're going to carry you across. But this is the time to step on it. For you. And even if you don't see the change, don't let doubt and fear begin to come in. If God gave you a word, step on it, stand on it, stay on it. You continue, as he said to Joshua, you meditate on that word day and night. You keep speaking that word. You keep speaking that word. I don't care what it looks like. Don't care what you feel like. You keep speaking that word. You keep speaking that word. And even when you find yourself interacting with folk, they seem like they haven't changed. You keep standing on the word God gave you concerning them. I know you look the same, smell the same, act the same, but you're not the same. I got a word I'm standing on. I got a word to standing on, and your name is all up in that word. And I'm going to keep standing. I'm going to keep standing. I'm going to keep standing till that word becomes so powerful and strong in your life that the manifestation of who God said you really are becomes your reality, not just my imagination. You have to recognize and believe that the word that God has given, when you pray a prayer, you got to know that God has heard you. You got to believe that God has heard you. When Daniel prayed and says 21 days he fasted, at the time when the angel showed up, he said, Daniel, I need to let you know, from the moment you prayed the prayer, it was answered. But I've been in a fight to get the answer to you. But thank God you've kept standing. Step on it. Come on, shout, step on it. He says to the priest, now I need y'all to step on it. This is Joshua talking to the priest with the Ark of the Covenant. It's time for you to step on it. Because I got a word from God. Step on it. And the moment they stepped in that water, the moment their feet hit the water, the water stopped. Some say it's about 5 miles away. But this is where patience comes in. This is where trust comes in. Your patience, your trust in God that allows you to keep waiting, keep standing. Stay in that place till you see the reality of that word. God leads them over. And as they make it into that land, victory after victory after victory after victory. And then there was the clever Gibeons. The clever Gibeonites. We won't say they were deceptive or the lying Gibeonites. We're just gonna say they were clever. Because what they recognized was this: no one can stand against Israel. No one can stand against the people of God. We need to make a decision because they're heading our way. And the choice they made was, okay, you know what? Let's get some bread together. Let's make it as moldy as we can. And we're gonna act like we came from a faraway land. Get your dirty, dusty clothes on. We ain't cleaning nothing, you know, mess your hair. We're going to look like we came from a faraway land. And we're coming to submit ourselves to them. And make a covenant with them. And that's what they did. They showed up and they cleverly deceived Joshua and the people and the leaders. And they made a covenant with them. Now, this is how strong covenant is in the Bible. That once they found out that they were deceived, they still honored the covenant. They still honored the covenant. So I'm giving you some backdrop as to where we're going now, because we're still talking about step on it. We're still at step on it. In Joshua 10, it says this 1-5. It wasn't long before my master king, Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had taken Ai and destroyed it and its king under a holy curse, just as he had done in Jericho and its king. He also learned that the people of Gibeon, now here we go, the people of Gibeon had come to terms with Israel and were living as neighbors. They were living as neighbors. They were living as neighbors because they had made this covenant. He and his people were alarmed. Gibeon was a big city, as big as any, with a king and bigger than Ai. And all its men were seasoned fighters. Adonai, Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent word to Hoam, king of Hebron, Param, king of Jeremoth, Japhia, king of Lachish, and Debir, king of Eglon. Say five kings. Come on, say five kings. And he said, come and help me. Let's attack Gibeon. They've joined up with Joshua and the people of Israel. So the five Amorite kings, the king of Jerusalem, of Hebron, Jeremoth, Lachish, and Eglon, combined their armies and set out to attack Gibeon. They set out to attack Gibeon. But what they didn't know was the power of the covenant. What they didn't recognize was the power of the covenant. So when word came to Joshua that there were five kings, five nations coming against Gibeon, they rose up on Gibeon's behalf. And it goes on and it says this, that in that particular passage of scripture, this is God honoring his covenant, that they are fighting. And it's in that passage of scripture where you see where they're fighting. And this is what it says. This is how strongly God honors his covenant. Because now they're fighting against five kings. But this is what it says in Joshua 10, verse 11. It says, and it came about, as they fled from before Israel, while they were at the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord threw large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah and they died. It says there were more who died from the hailstones than those who the sons of Israel killed with the sword. See, God doesn't play. He said, step on it. Get in the land, and I'm going to help you. And so they're in the land, and you see how God is raining down hailstones, killing more than even Israel is killing themselves. Joshua, who's thinking, we got to finish this battle before sundown, it says he speaks to the sun, speaks to the moon. Sun, stand still. Moon, stay where you are. Because there is, listen, because there is this spiritual, miraculous dynamic that happens. Meaning this, that God can and will work miracles when necessary to accomplish his purposes. Sometimes we're praying for a miracle, praying. He said, well, you know, I could do a miracle, but I'm going to come a different way this time. Because there's a lesson I want you to get out of it. And so, he says, sun, stand still. Moon, stay where you're at. And one of the things I love, one of the other preachers' messages based on this passage was, I heard what you said, but I know what you meant. I love that. I heard what you said, but I know what you meant. Meaning, to say sun, stand still wouldn't be the thing to say. Because the earth revolves around the sun. But I love that. Because sometimes you and I pray a prayer. And God says, I heard what you said, but I know what you meant. I'll take care of it. I heard what you said, but I know what you meant. I'll take care of it. And that's what God did. There are seasons for all of us when God wants to settle some things. And I believe we're in that place, many of us. I believe many of you, if not all of us, are in that season where God wants to settle some things. He's saying now, you need to step on it and settle it. You need to step on it and settle it. You need to step on it and settle it. Because in this same passage of scripture, this is where I'm picking up Joshua 10, verse 15. It says, then Joshua returned all Israel with him to the camp of Gilgal. Meanwhile, the five kings had hidden in the cave of Makeda. Joshua was told the five kings had been found hiding in the cave. Joshua said, roll a big stone against the mouth of the cave and post guards to keep watch, but don't hang around, go after your enemies. Cut off their retreat. Don't let them get back into their cities. God has given them to you. Now, I want you to recognize this dynamic. The five kings who started this whole thing are now holed up in a cave. But Joshua says, but don't concern yourself with them. We're going to deal with them. I'm going to deal with them. I need you to stay focused right over here on these victories. So I need you to keep taking out this enemy. I need you to make sure that those that are trying to get away, don't get away. You need to stop them before they get back to their place, and you need to end this thing right now. And I want to say to many of us that that's exactly where we need to press in. Because when God was speaking to Moses concerning taking the land, he also makes this statement. He says, you're to go in and you're to pluck down and pull down the high places. But he says, the things that you let remain, the things that you let remain will be pricks in your eyes, thorns in your flesh, and vex you where in the land that you dwell. And what God was saying to Joshua and often saying to us is, you need to deal with everything and anything that would impede, oppose your ability to walk upright before me and to walk with me in every area, in strength and in power. Come on, just shout, step on it. That's the place where Joshua is speaking. And I love that when I read that passage, because there are certain things, hear me now, there are certain things we think we need to address. But what Joshua was saying is, no, hold off. We're going to deal with that. We're not going to deal with that right now. I need you to stay focused on this. But then he does this. They go out and they finish the battle. Joshua and the people of Israel says then finished them off, total devastation. Only a few got away to the fortified towns. The whole army then returned intact to the camp and to Joshua and Makeda. There was no criticism that day from the people of Israel. Then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave, bring the five kings out. They did it. They brought him the five kings from the cave. When they had them there in front of Joshua, look at this, he called up the army and told the field commanders who had been with him, come here. Put your feet on the necks of these kings. Come on, step on it. Come on, step on it. They stepped up and put their feet on the neck, on their necks. And I want you to recognize that what Joshua was doing here was establishing a place of victory and authority in his leaders, in those that would command with him. And there's times, hear me now, often we want God to handle it right now, but he says, no, I need you to step on it. I need you to step on it, because in your stepping on it, it's going to be authority that you recognize that you have from this point forward. I need you to recognize I give you power to tread, oh, tread on, step on. I give you power to step on, tread on scorpions and enemies, and nothing will by any means hurt you. But you oftentimes won't know it if you never get close enough to step on it. Sometimes we want to pray from a distance. No, you need to step right up on it, and while it's still moving, you need to put your foot on it. You know how you see some of them things running around sometimes? You know, I ain't going to say the name of the bugs, but I didn't see it. You know, and you like, you know, and you know, it don't really take all of that, but in that moment, you kind of shaken by what you see, and you kill it 500 times. I mean, you know, it's like overkill. You just could have, you know, and been done. But what Joshua is saying here, listen, yeah, I could have had those guys killed and you never would have saw them. Oh, I could have had them executed in the cave. But sometimes God wants to bring the situation to light so that you can step on it, get the victory over it, that when it's done, you walk away in a place in God that you've never been in before. But it takes some courage to be able to step on some things while they're still moving. God never intended that every breakthrough you get comes through your pastor, your apostle, or any other gift or ministry. No, this is about maturing of the saints. This is about you growing up. And so sometimes, no, you don't need hands laid on you. You need to just step on it. And Joshua brings them and says, now, you put your foot on them. You put your foot on their necks. They ain't dead yet. And look at what he says. Joshua told them, don't hold back, don't be timid, be strong, be confident that this is what God will do to your enemies when you fight them. What's he doing? He's building up their confidence. Translation says, this will God do to all your enemies. Meaning every time you're opposed, you will have victory. And he says, I want to give you a visual right now. You come up, put your foot on his neck. You know, quit moving. It's about to be over. Quit moving. Get over here. Put your foot. I said, put your foot on it. Put your foot on it. Step on it. Step on it. Step on it. Step on the heart. Yeah. Step on it. Just keep your foot there, right? Just long enough. Come on. I need you to calm down. Calm down. Everything's calm down. Get your victory right now. Yeah, look him in the eye. Let him know your days are numbered. It's about to be over for you. This ain't happening ever again. Can't come this way again. No, this ends today. This ends right now. My foot, this is it. Step on 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 it. I'm almost done. I've shared this story before, and I don't recommend any kids do this, but when we were in junior high school, we had one of my middle brother, a year younger than me, he was being bullied by a guy. He was being bullied by a guy in homeroom, and every time we'd see him, and, you know, this guy would just be bullying him in homeroom. You know how you went to homeroom, and then you went to your classes. So one day, he told us, I said, okay, we're going to handle this today. So we went to homeroom with him, me, my older brother, the younger brother was getting bullied, a couple other guys. We went in and walked in the room before the teacher got there. Where is he? That's him over there. Walked over to him. Said, okay, you. So you've been messing with my brother? You're kind of defiant. Okay. Give me a breath. Hit him. Pow. Hit him again. Pow. Hit him one more time. Pow. Now, we could have went in and handled that ourselves. Now, hear me now. I'm just sharing the story. I'm giving you an analogy, okay? Because it worked. From that day forward, he never messed with him again. Because, see, often, hear me now, often what you don't recognize is when God is saying step on it, you don't realize who's standing behind you ready to step up with you on that thing. See, when those five kings were brought out, they weren't just thinking about the guys that had the foot on their necks. Joshua was there and all the army. So you can act a fool if you want to. But don't think we alone. We not alone. We got a kingdom backing us up. And a king who gave his life to guarantee our victory. Don't get it twisted. Step on it. So they win the various victories. And sometimes life goes on. And when life goes on, life, and you've heard me say this, life has a way of dictating to us what life is going to be. As believers, I believe we have the right and the authority to be able to speak things into existence so it doesn't have to be exactly the way it's spelled out for any and everybody who doesn't know Christ, who's not in the kingdom of God. I don't believe in living life on life's terms. I believe in living life based on this book and everything in this book that you can believe for and stand in, step on, step into, can become a reality. You don't have to deal with the sicknesses that you're dealing with. I don't care what they are. You don't have to deal with the financial challenges you're dealing with. I don't care how you were raised. This book, this word has transformative power. The redemptive work of Calvary took care of everything. It took care of everything. No matter where you find yourself. But lastly, this. You see, as much as I would like to step on it for you, your inheritance, your place in God can only become your reality when you step on it. And Joshua understood that. So this is my closing. And team, if you're still in the building, and Jamal, I know you're taking notes, but would you just like go play some music, like make it feel like we really end in here, cause we something saw. Joshua 18. Now Joshua is at a point where he's coming to a place of recognizing, I've done my part, and so this is what he says. And this is my closing passage. Joshua 18, verse 1. It says, then the entire congregation of the people of Israel got together at Shiloh. They put up the tent of meeting. The land was under their control. But there were still 7 Israelite tribes who had not yet received their inheritance. And look at what it says here. Joshua addressed the people of Israel. How long are you going to sit around on your hands, putting off taking possession of the land that God, the God of your ancestors, has given you? And then he says this, pick 3 men from each tribe so I can commission them They will survey and map the land, showing the inheritance due each tribe, and report back to me. You know what he's saying? Well, he's saying a few things. One of the things he's saying is, you better step on it. You better step on it. It's time to step on it. You've been given inheritance. You've been given a promise. But you'll never receive it till you step on it.
Amen.
You'll never receive it until you step into it. He says, how long will you put off? How long will you procrastinate? How long will you delay stepping on it? They had inheritance, had never seen their inheritance. He's saying, it's time to step on it. You need to get out there. You need to walk on it. You need to measure it. You need to mark it. And then come back and let me know what you found so that we can get this done.